Atlanta United last night with a 1-1 draw. Two late goals by both teams. 1-1 draw, as we said. Now we get ready for Sunday, Sunday E30 against Toronto FC. The man who will call along with Mike Connie, a man of many hats, it will be short. Of course, he will join us now on the WadeFord.com hotline. Follow him on Twitter at Longshoe. Good evening to you, Jason. I know you're a face, but I always enjoy and embrace being a heel myself.
Yeah, I don't know if I should be offended or not.
You should be. You know, that's what everybody does. Listen, it's 2020. Everybody's supposed to be offended by everything, Jason. So you got to be one of the cool kids to all of that. So, Jason, you know, last night was interesting in watching this comeback. Do you think 3 weeks ago this team would have found a late goal like that and been resilient enough to come back and push the issue and score? It just felt like, it feels like there's a little bit different vibe about this team from even just a few weeks ago.
Yeah, they're developing a little bit of an edge. And last night was a tough match. I mean, look, you're playing a team in Miami who's on a two-game winning streak. They're not at 100% full strength, but they're fielding two World Cup finalists, one World Cup winner. You're missing so many impact players right now. And you were getting, you know, overrun in the first half. You weren't good enough in the first 45, but you kept Miami off the board. When they conceded, and more importantly, like winning the match they conceded, you had to worry at that point. Like, okay, are they going to have any gas in the tank to go find something? And from then on, there wasn't a whole lot of the match left, but from then on, they were the best team in the match, and they honestly had a great chance to win it late. I'm with you. I don't know if they would have built up to that point a few weeks ago. I think that's a credit to Steven Glass, the work that he's put in, and the attitude that he's cultivating with.
How would you say this season ranks for Brad Guzan as far as his best season? Was last year better? Where would you put this season? Because, man, he's having to cover, you know, post to post and just be everywhere, and sometimes on more than just one shot.
Yeah, it's picked up here lately for sure. I think he started the year maybe a little slow. There were a couple goals that we're not used to seeing Brad Guzan give up. But lately, in these last few matches, he has been massive, and you're dead on. He's been making not just the one save, but then the follow-up. It feels like every match now you've got one save to one side, then he's got to get back on his feet, find the ball, make the next save. He's being asked to do a little bit more than you want your goalkeeper doing at the moment, but that's where this team is at the moment. They're struggling to hold a lot of the ball and play in the other team's half. It's something they're going to have to figure out because the competition gets better as we go.
You know, we like to say, you know, well, there's a lot of, you know, time left and things like that, but there really isn't. And how important was getting a point last night? I mean, I saw I was reading an article on MLSsoccer.com or whatever it was about Miami's manager, who was not very happy with the result last night, that they thought they had 3 points and not real happy that they only came out of that thing with a draw. And it obviously keeps Atlanta, I think, in the 10th spot in the playoff picture. But how important was that last night to at least find a way to grab a point on the road?
Critical, because your two home matches you have coming up to finish out, you got 5 matches left now. The 2 at home, you'll be favored. The 3 on the road, you will not be favored. You're playing 3 of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. This was your road match where you had an opportunity to get something out of it, and you did. Is it going to be enough? Or are you still going to have to go steal something on the road? Maybe so with the teams around you. Nashville had a big win last night against Houston, a surprising win with 3 goals in the first half. We haven't seen Nashville break out like that this season at all. You've got Chicago, who's playing really well right around you, but that draw also kept Miami behind you, and they're another team that's in this chase. It's going to go down to the wire in the Eastern Conference, in my opinion. Every point's going to be big.
Jason Longshore joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline as we get ready for Atlanta United back in action on Sunday. He'll have the call along with Mike Connie as they will take on Toronto FC. I saw another article as well talking about Jürgen Damm and kind of his role with this team, the fact that he's not started very much. I mean, what do you make of all that? Is he a guy that should be starting? Is he, you know, getting the right opportunities? I mean, I just thought it was interesting that he was kind of the guy that was kind of pinpointed in this article.
Yeah, he's a guy who will be starting. He's a guy who came into Atlanta without a lot of playing time in 2020. He was on the way out at Tigres. He had turned down their last offers of a new contract in Mexico. So he was going to go where he wanted to on a free. He was going to become a free agent, pick a spot. He picked Atlanta to come to. So Tigres, in the first half of 2020, really had no time for Jürgen Damm. They didn't really do anything with him. He barely played in the calendar year before arriving in Atlanta, and Mexico hadn't returned to training by the time he did arrive in Atlanta. So he had really no fitness levels. It's been building him up and building him up. And right as he was starting to get to a point where I thought he was looking comfortable physically, then he pulled his hamstring. So then you're starting over from scratch again. Since then, in these last couple appearances, he looks like he's getting that explosiveness back. He's known as one of the fastest players in the world. That causes a team to destabilize that you're playing against, because you can't just defend him like a normal winger, because he can just run past you. He doesn't have to have 20 stepovers. It's literally play the ball past you and run, and he can do that. He's starting to open up a bit, and I thought we saw how dangerous he could be last night.
Jason, is obviously this team has, you know, talked about its process for finding a manager and this, that, and the other, and we've kind of talked about this, you know, each kind of step of the way. But you know, we're headed down the home stretch here, last few matches. How much do you think that making the playoffs or not making the playoffs will hurt or help Steven Glass? I mean, you know, how much do you think that Carlos and everybody in the front office, Darren and everybody, is looking at results versus process?
I think they're looking at both. This team's playing better, and I think the quality of performances has been better since Steven Glass took over, especially in the second half of his run. Since that Dallas win, this team has felt very different. They're a tough team to beat. They don't have a lot of firepower, and that's always going to be a limitation for them this season, because Joseph Martinez out, then Kubo Torres getting hurt, although now you're getting him back into the mix a little earlier than you expected you might. That helps, but you're not as dangerous going forward as you normally will be. So you have to not be perfect, but you have to be pretty close. And that's going to always make it difficult for whoever the manager is. I think Steven Glass has changed the attitude of this group, and that's not easy to do. You know, when a manager comes in as an interim and, you know, they don't have the job long term and they're replacing somebody like Frank DeBoer, where there was lots of conversation about problems behind the scenes, he's had to deal with that. He's had to deal with injuries. He's had to deal with a compressed schedule. He's had to deal with Pitty Martinez being transferred out, bringing Marcelino Moreno in. It's a lot to juggle. But he has changed the attitude, and that's a credit to the work that he's put in. Is he going to be an option for the long-term answer here? It's not the plan. You know, you don't want to rule anything out when you have somebody in place. You want to see what they can do, but it's not the long-term plan. I think he has improved his standing within the club and just in general as a manager. I think Steven's done a good job.
So let's just say, for argument's sake, he doesn't get the job. Does he just go right back down to Atlanta United too? Or, you know, what do you think happens to him? They're not going to let him go, I would think. I mean, I don't think they want him to leave the organization. So
no.
What happens there?
No, I think the intention is to go back to Atlanta United too. And that would have Tony Annan, who's the academy director, who finished the year out as the interim manager of Atlanta United too, going back to overseeing the academy, which is ramping up. And you've got a big role with those two spots. I think at times we can overlook those. They're different than your minor league manager spots and minor league baseball. There's not a direct equivalent, you know, in some of our other sports here, but those two roles for me really do set that DNA, that attitude and that philosophy within a club, that you're starting to see a team that is difficult to play against, is a team that wants to play aggressively, wants to play fast. you start with developing that in your kids and they come through the academy and then come to Atlanta United too, to be prepared to step right into the first team and succeed. George Bello is really the first one that we're seeing contribute and be a key everyday player with the first team. There's a whole lot more coming, because you think back to when this academy started, it was the year before the first team launched. Those 10, 11-year-olds are now 15 and 16 and now getting minutes in the USL Championship, the second division. They're going to be, you know, looked at as potential MLS players in the next year or two, and pushing some of these guys that are on the roster now and some of the players that the team might look to bring in. You want to develop as much as you can from within, and Steven Glass will be very important in that role.
I'm glad you clarified all that, because that's the first thought that goes through my head, is that would be like, you know, the Braves called up Brian Snitker to come and manage the team, and then all of a sudden he doesn't get the job and you send him back down to Gwinnett. It just would seem like a weird dynamic. Do you think, as we've got about a minute left, do you think that somebody else in MLS would come calling for Steven Glass after watching the performance and kind of taking, I hate to say a ragtag bunch, but certainly not his full personnel, and maybe make them a playoff team still?
They could. I think what could be interesting is Scotland, where Steven Glass is from. And there was a rumor earlier in the summer about Dundee United potentially having interest when they had an opening. I don't know if that actually progressed to anything before Dundee United filled that opening. But Aberdeen is a club that Steven Glass played at for a number of years. It's a club that Atlanta United has a relationship with. They've invested into Aberdeen. If that job ever opened up, that could be one that would make a lot of sense. But there's other clubs in Scotland that could make sense as well. We'll just have to see. Atlanta United would love to hold on to him, but he has kind of elevated his stature a little bit with this role.
I thought Crocodile Dundee was from Australia, not Scotland, but what do I know at this point? So anyway, oh, that's something different. He is our baby face here on all things Atlanta United, and he and Mike Connie will have the call coming up on Sunday night versus Toronto FC. You can follow him on Twitter, of course, at Longshoe. Jason Longshore, join us here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. As always, Jason, appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for the time this evening. Be safe, be well, and Let's just keep trying to rack up some points and try to keep this thing rolling and get in the playoffs, all right?
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me on.